Blog Talk Radio.
The Book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen, amen. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to our program tonight. It's January the 2nd, 2020. 2020. You made it. You made it another year. You made it to the new year. You made it to flip the calendar. You've made it through the last 12 months. I just want to encourage everyone out there listening, you made it. You made it. You know, God has kept you. God has brought you through some things in 2019, and God has a greater plan for you in 2020. So first of all, let me say this to my brothers out there and all those who are listening. If you called in at 646-668-2636, we'll see you on the switchboard here. If you want to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad. All those at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We also welcome you, and Happy New Year. There's been a lot going on this past year. God has been moving in my life and the lives of people around me, those in my circle of influence, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and just in the church in general. So we don't necessarily hear about all the good things, because you know how it is with the news and the media. You hear about a lot of negative, but I know God is alive. I know Jesus Christ is alive, and he's on the throne, and that God is in control of all these things. And sometimes we had struggles. Sometimes we had disappointments. But yet, let me say this, that we must be stay encouraged and know that God is in control, and he's working all things out for our good. So I pray that everyone would endure. And again, be hopeful. As Christians, we have hope because we know that God is in control and Christ is coming back. Amen? Amen. So I have a couple of announcements. We're going to do a prayer. We're going to be writing a conversation. We're going to be talking about the next couple of sessions. We're going to talk about maturity, spiritual maturity. And we're going to be talking about prayer for a while because I think some of us, we slip in, for myself also, we slip into habits, especially after a year of praying. Sometimes we start to pray out of habit. We don't pray with passion. We don't pray with sincerity. And we just fall into a rut sometimes spiritually. So I wanted to talk today about to encourage the brothers out there to start to look at our prayer lives, examine our prayer lives. What are we praying? How are we praying? When are we praying? Are we praying with our family? Are we praying for our family? And who are we praying for? And, you know, if we look back over the last year, how many of the prayers have we prayed that God has really answered? And do we remember them? You know, I always say, I've learned a long time ago, and I always encourage anyone out there, you know, start a prayer journal. Write down the prayers and the things you ask for God. And then you have a record of the goodness in God. So when it comes time for your testimony and for you to share, you have a record. So, you know, I pray for this on such and such a day. And I know that 2 years later, 6 months later, 5 years later, God's done this thing. You know, as we pray for family members, as we pray for our situations, you know, we have to think about the situations we go through in life and how what God is doing. Because sometimes the things that we go through is a test of our faith and see if we're going to believe God, or we're going to abide by God, we're going to live how God says to live, or we're going to convert back to our old self and try and handle things ourselves, or we're trusting God. And I think for us to be able to trust God, we have to remember what God has done sometimes, you know, because God has brought us out a lot of things, you know, emotionally, financially, emotionally, spiritually, you know, and God has done some things and made us stronger. And in our testing and in our growth, we always have a testimony. Because we can tell someone else when they're going through, we can say, you know what, I was where you was at, but yet I believe God, I stayed faithful to God, and I continued to pray, and God brought me through. And I'm not going to say I never would tell anybody it was easy or it's just simple, but it helps strengthen your faith and know that God is really in control. Because some things we have to go through, we have to deal with, but God can make us stronger. It make us mentally, emotionally stronger because we believe that He is in control. Or something, because some things we cannot fix ourselves. We have to trust God and trust the process. Because again, God is doing things that we don't even see or know, and He's kept us from some things, and He's kept us safe from some things that we don't even know we were in danger of. But as Christians, as believers in Christ, we understand that, and we just have to remind ourselves. Amen. Well, I'm open with prayer. I have a couple announcements. We have some upcoming events coming, and I just want to share with my brothers out there. But let's begin with prayer. Lord God, I say thank you right now, Father. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you are doing. Lord, I pray today, just help. Help me. Help those on the line. God, you know the needs individually, Lord God. You know the life. You know the things that we're going through, Lord God. So, Father, I just right now take time out and just say, help. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Give us guidance. Give us direction. Continue, O God, to use us mightily in your kingdom. Father, we lift up right now, God, husbands, fathers, sons, wives, mothers, daughters. God, we lift up the family to each day, oh God. We ask for healing. We ask for reconciliation. Lord God, we pray for the sick and the shut-in right now, Lord God. Those who woke up a new year in the hospital that they've been going through for a while, but today we pray their healing. We pray your will be done. Father, we lift up the family members who've been sitting by the bedside. They wasn't out New Year's Eve. They wasn't out Christmas. They were by the bedside faithfully to encourage, to pray for those who have been bed stricken, who have been dealing with illnesses for a while. Father, I pray for those, oh God, in this last week that I know personally whose parents passed away after long sicknesses. But God, we know that you are in control, and we give you the glory. We thank you for their lives, God. I thank you for the encouragement and strength that you've given those who've lost loved ones in this last year, Lord God. So, Father, there's so much, God, that we're thankful for, Lord God. But we know, God, all things work together for our good. So, Father, continue to strengthen your church. Keep your church protected, God. Every individual soul and saint that you know, because you know the hairs on every individual hair on our head. So you know all of our individual problems and issues. Continue to strengthen us and keep us. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. 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 Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And it is 2020. Again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, and Happy New Year. Made it another year. We had a lot of things going on, and babies are being born, and life is moving forward, and people are being blessed. People are being brought out of situations. And we're just gonna say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I have a couple of announcements coming up. The Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, Beyond the Walls, and the Community of Love Outreach is starting a mentoring program in this new year of 2020. Every fourth Sunday, they're going to be having a mentoring program in the community. They're going to have two locations. One is going to be a restaurant, which I'm definitely going to. It's a Taste of the Island and Soul Food on 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. And the other location is going to be at the Covenant Lifehouse Ministries at their building at 508 McCormick Drive in Glen Burnie, Maryland. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking for volunteers to come out and mentor the children. We need school supplies. We're going to help with tutoring. We're going to help with writing skills, reading comprehension skills. We're going to get supplies, school supplies, because you know right now this is the midterms, the end of the new terms coming up. The school supplies you volunteered in August and September for, okay, those are gone, and we need more. Simple as that. Everybody does it back to school, but it should be back to the second semester after the holidays. Schools are still, a lot of public schools still are short on supplies. So they don't need from pencils to paper to crayons to glue to all that stuff that you bought and go back to school. They can also use that help now. So we're going to be doing that. And as the weeks and months go by, we're going to bring the brother on, Brother Darren Broom. He's coordinating it, and I'm personally going to be part of it and be there to mentor. Just reach out to the community. Reach out to the next generation. We need the body of Christ. We need those who believe, Christian believers, to be involved with the culture in our communities. Again, you know, our churches are not social clubs, And if your church is not involved with your local community, brothers, you need to check yourself. And you know, that's why sometimes I don't have a lot of friends, because the church should be more than the four walls on Sundays for 2 hours, and maybe a Bible study, because that's a whole another show we talk about. But if that is all your Christian walk is, that's not what Christ died for. We got to make an impact. We got to be relevant, and we can change lives. And some of the things people need is help in their everyday life, and they have to see us as Christians going out and being part of. Amen. Amen. Also, men's ministry, brothers, it's getting close. We're getting close to our deadline for our deposit, because we have to get a final count. Is January the 12th. January the 12th, we need a $55 deposit for you to go with us. We're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center on April 17th, 18th, and 19th of 2020. And we're doing a men's retreat. The total cost is $125, but you need a $55 deposit by January the 12th to hold your spot. Because we had to count it in, we have to turn it in, and we have to be able to let them know how many brothers is coming, and we're going to lock it down. Amen? So you can reach out to us. You can reach out to me on Facebook, or you can call 443-591-3504 if you're locally in the D.C., Maryland area, Baltimore area, or even if you're out of state. If you can get to Black Rock, it's in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So if you can get there on the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we'll surely love to have you come out and be part of the gathering of men. You're going to be trying to build relationships, strengthen each other in our walk, and build bonds that can help us get this through. Because as Christian men, we need each other to encourage each other along the way. And who are you going to go to in times of stress? Who are you praying with? Who's in your circle of influence? When we're doing everything else, whatever we else, no matter where you were, I don't care if you're running the streets, in college, in the military, or whatever, you always had a squad of men or brothers around you to encourage you. Some of it we encourage you to do good things, but also we had a squad of brothers we hung out with. And then as Christian men, like I always say this to remind the brothers, there's never been an example in the scripture where you were not part of a local church, a local body of believers. The disciples went out two by two. Jesus had 12 brothers around them. You have Peter and Paul. You have Barnabas and Paul. You have Paul and Silas. You know, there's no example of long range of Christians and not being part of the body, because that's what makes us stronger. Because we can sit in a room and sit in a closet and meditate on scripture all we want, but when we start to live that thing out, how else are we going to be able to know where we are and measuring ourselves because of the culture, the community of believers around us, and how we gain knowledge and understanding how to live out this word. Amen? Because remember, Paul had to write letters back. Paul went out. He went out on 3 missionary journeys. He planted churches. He shared the gospel. But he had to write that New Testament back to correct some of them same people that he converted, because they drifted off of the truth. And that's what the church does. It keeps us lined up with the truth, with the word of God. And hopefully everyone that's hearing the sound of my voice, you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. So some of you Methodists and Baptists and IMEs, and, you know, you all we teach in scripture, all we teach in doctrine of denominations. And I'm going to leave that there, because I've already been to that program and had to talk to some people about that. But that's always what are we doing. Amen? Amen. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Good evening.
Good evening, sir. God bless. God bless.
How are you, sir? Good to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for joining us tonight. So we're going to jump right in, bro. We're talking about right now, because like I said in the beginning, you know, it's a new year, and prayer, the importance of prayer. No matter what we do in the body of Christ as a church, in our personal life, if we go out and do an evangelism, outreach, we're planning for the future, we're planning, we're sitting down in meetings, but it all begins with prayer. And I think prayer is very important. Even when we pray for the sick, when we're praying for people, we're praying for our family members, we're praying for ourselves. There's some precepts, there's some things that we have to be honest about and have to be able to focus on, that our prayers can be heard, that God will hear our prayers, and that we are obedient to you know, what we're doing when we pray. Because, you know, some people I know, because It used to be all the time we talk about people would tell somebody they're going to pray for them, but do they actually pray? You know, that's a whole, that's a church thing. Because sometimes you got to call people out, because people always say, but they have nothing else to say, okay, and don't have an answer to help you, they're going to say, oh, well, I'll pray for you. But do we really pray? And are we honest and truthful in our prayer time, and what are we praying about and for? Amen?
Amen.
So the next couple of shows, we're going to be talking about it. Tonight, I want to talk about the sincerity of prayer, really sincerity of prayer. For those of you out there listening, if you have your Bibles with you, because we're always going to have a scriptural foundation of what we're talking about. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, and verse number 7 is where we're going to be coming from. But, brother, I'm going to come to you. The importance of sincerity in prayer and praying and how it is that we can have the right, and how important it is to have the right attitude and sincerity and knowing, you know, who that God is really going to answer our prayer, and that we're praying in faith. And then we're not praying out of tradition. We're not praying, you know, just because we had to pray, because it's time to pray. You know what I mean? We fall into rut sometimes. So we say, oh, let me pray. And then when I get it over, I can go about my business. Because I could tell somebody if they ask me, yeah, I prayed. But are we sincere in our prayer? And then also on the other side, you know, where are we and are we seeing God hearing our prayers and our sincerity in our prayer? What do you say, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, definitely. I mean, when we talk about the sincerity of prayer, and you went right where I was, you know, my mind was and heart was, it's about the level of faith in your prayer. I mean, so many, like you said, will say, I'll pray for you, or, you know, I'm praying about this, I'm praying about that. And in faith, when we pray, I truly believe that our prayer is supposed to be a conversation with God. You know, we run into prayer and it's like we want the quick microwave answer. You know, we want to go and press a few buttons, say a few hallelujahs and a quick glory to God and expect that everything changes. But we have to know in faith that there's a relationship. There's a, when we're truly sincere about our prayer, we're praying knowing we have a relationship with God, our Father. And that our Father has made promises and has things destined and created for us. And when we pray for those things, when we pray about our health, when we pray about our finances, when we pray about our relationship, when you pray about every aspect of your life, your expectancy should be, as you stand in faith, that God's going to make those changes. But we can't expect that those changes are going to happen the minute we say amen. There is a call for us to walk in that place, to stay consistent in our prayer, to continually communicate with God. If you say you're a praying person and all you do is say grace and say a morning prayer, you need some work. You need some work. Your prayer should be the way you walk, the way you live. Your prayer should always be that you have an open communication with God the Father. And, you know, sometimes life is busy. Sometimes things are going on. But your attitude, your mindset should always be that you're communicating with God. You're walking with God. You're talking with God. You're giving God praise, even in just not necessarily the words you say out loud, but just your thoughts are giving God praise and honor. That's prayer. That's uplifting praise to God. That is truly what we're called to do. And I think when we're sincere about our prayer life, we'll really realize that so many of us are lacking and don't have the prayer life that we portray or that we say we do. I know for myself, it's many times that I know I'm falling short of what God deserves in my time and my conversation with Him. And that's when I, you know, have to go into fasting and praying just to grow deeper. But I really believe that the sincerity of our prayer is the factor, the deciding thing that we'll actually see God manifest, God moving in our prayers, because He knows our heart. We're praying about something that we truly believe He can do. We're not just throwing requests up, saying, here, fix this, and walking away. We're saying, God, help me to walk through this, because if I can walk through it with you, then I know I can show someone else how to get through it too. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, that's true, and you're right. But each of us as believers, we have to search our heart and our prayer life, because it's, again, it's a spiritual maturity thing. It's a process. I don't want to put folk out there, you know, may have been saved a week, 2 months, 6 months, a year, or whatever. Because even in that, you know, you have to build it up. It's like anything else. You want to grow. You want to from where you begin and your growth. And that's why at this new year, we look back over our prayer life of the last year, the things we've been praying about, and how are we praying? Are we searching the scriptures for prayer? Are we looking for the spiritual maturity to learn how to truly pray? Amen. Let me go to the verse. I gave the verse here, Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to share it right here as we continue to talk about sincerity in prayer. It's Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse number 5. And it says, and when you pray, you should not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You openly, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And in that scripture, it talks about, in the following scripture, it talks about, it starts off on what we call the Lord's Prayer. But, you know, that's actually a prayer for us, the formula. But it's saying that we should be not pray like the hypocrites. That's the part I want to go back to. Because when Jesus spoke that, he was talking about how the Jewish church was, the Pharisees and the folk were, they had great robes and they were decked out in their robes, and they would walk around the synagogue. They would stand up in the synagogue and pray great, mighty words of wisdom that sounded so wonderful and so deep and so spiritual. They had music going and all that, and that prayer, and in the prayer to impress folk. And that's what we have to be careful of. I know some folk, I can tell you right now, there's some folk who've been in church and have seen these things happen. Yeah, some folks stand up with prayer and they pray eloquently, and they pray a long time. They have great sounding words and they shout. But all that is that, are they praying like the hypocrites, which you just talked about that. So our prayer life as individuals, you know, when they go out and they get applauded, you know, I don't know if people do it now. I've over the last couple of years, I've realized, why do we clap after someone that opens up in prayer at a service or somewhere? Anybody ever wonder, how do we get to applauding someone's prayer? Are we praying along with them? Or are we just praying that they just finished or whatever? You know what I mean? So when we think about how we do things out of tradition in the church, when we step back and look at it, we wonder why we do the things we do. So that's one of the things I just wanted to talk about. I want to focus in on what he said, when we pray, we should not pray like the hypocrites. And that's something that each of us has to look at, especially, you know, when we're in a congregation, or even, and what are we doing in our own time? And like you said, our private prayer time is where it all starts. Because if your prayer life is not in the place where you're speaking to God, and where you're hearing from, where you're looking for an answer for God and direction, and that's where, you know, we have to be as individuals. We have to start to see, are we coming to God sincerely? Or we, again, because we can do it ourselves. We can say a lot of things and a lot of words. And we say, we would go back and tell people we prayed for a half an hour. I was in prayer for 2 hours and God spoke and moved. And, you know, and again, we looking for, you know, recognition from men, trying to show ourselves to be spiritual in our prayer life to men. But are we really speaking to God? Because we are always sincere in the things that we're praying about. What do you say, sir?
Once again, I thought about this and I wanted to say it, and I kind of pulled back. You know, I've just as you experienced that, where people are praying and it's amazing to hear their prayer, and then to hear their prayer on a Sunday morning with all the loud, all the big words, and, you know, almost quoting the scripture as they pray. But then when you see them on Monday, their life doesn't look anything like what they were praying. And that's what we talk about, the hypocrite. Your prayer should reflect your life. your prayer, your commitment, your word that you give to God in praise should reflect the way that you walk every day. That's what I meant when I said, you know, our prayer should be our walk, our talk. It should be our daily action. We should live out the way that we pray. That's what Christ was talking about, being a hypocrite. They're, you know, standing in front of people just to be noticed, just to be heard, but live nothing about what they pray. The honor that they pray and what they and what they're saying to give all this give honor to God, but their life does nothing in the same manner. When we're sincere about it, the way we pray is the way that we live. The way that we want to grow is the way that you should want your prayer life to grow each and every day. You want your character to change. You want to be delivered from the ways of old. You want to grow in the strength of your prayer every day. You want to get closer to God every day in that relationship, and that comes just like an earthly relationship. You get to know somebody better when you spend more time with them. But if you only spend a little bit of time on the time when it's convenient, on the time when it's when you're going through something, can you ever really say you had a good wholehearted, trusting, loving relationship if you only call on when there's trouble? If you only call on when you have some spare time after you've taken care of everything else? Sincerity in prayer should be about a sincere relationship with God. And I know, as Deacon Farr said, and I truly agree, there are many of us that are just beginning our walk with Christ. You won't have the same, not dedication, you won't have the same experience. You won't have the same, you may not spend as much time in prayer as someone else who's going through, someone else has built that prayer life. But each and every day we should be getting stronger in our prayer life, from the babe in the church to the elder in the church to the pastor, everybody, every day that prayer life should go stronger and stronger, because every day you're learning more about yourself as you learn more of God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, and that's what it's about. It's our personal growth. It all starts, like I say anything about this Christian walk, especially for me, it starts in us. It starts with our relationship, and the church is built on the gathering of those who believe. But we have to understand that we are going to stand before God by ourselves. We're not going to stand before God with our pastor, with our church members. You know, churches don't go to heaven. Individual people and souls go to heaven. So God's going to hold you accountable. But also, in the grace of God, I want to encourage, no matter where you are in your walk, again, it doesn't matter how long you've confessed Christ, but how you are growing for spiritual maturity. Because God has a plan and a purpose. You know, my pastor says it now. He says it a lot recently. I'm hearing a lot from more pastors. God did not save you and open your eyes to understand who Jesus Christ was and bring you into salvation for you. It's for those around you. You never know how you're going to affect the people around you in your faith walk. You know, we talk about a lot that people see how you deal with circumstances and situations. Where's your faith? Are you still the same person, especially folk who have known you before you were saved? Or are you different? Are you handling life different? Are you more walking more like Christ and being a spiritual example for folk? And then, again, let me say this. It's not about being perfect. It's about maturing in obedience to the word that you know and understand. And that's where we have to understand. It's not that with me, my brother, myself, and Elder Mark, and this show, we never talk about hold ourselves as examples on a pedestal to be like me. No, I want you to be able, we want to encourage folk to be discipled by Christ by reading his word, believing his word. And this is why it's so important to be around a community of believers locally in a church, where you're in Bible study, where things are explained to you, where you have your questions answered, where you could be guided through prayer and understand what prayer is and how we should be praying. Scripture teaches it. There's a lot, you'd be surprised. But let me just say this, for those who have not gotten there, there's a lot of prayers in Scripture that we can pray about the promises of God and the faithfulness of God. The book of Psalms is all worship. You know, so it's more of getting into the word, understanding the word, and applying the word to our lives. And that increases our faith. And again, our prayer time is a time when we are petitioning God. We're asking God for help and guidance and wisdom and direction, because we cannot do this in our flesh. You know, because we have to, again, like the brother said, you know, our life, we can't live a life that's contradictory to the word of God. and expect our prayers to be answered. You know, and that's what we have to really do. Where in my life, when I look at the Word of God, not look at my pastor, not look at other Christians I know or anything else, you know, it's where look at the Word of God and where am I and how close am I into the obedience of God. And then we pray that God help me. You know, that was one of my prayers early back. It was a lot of things I was going through when I first came into Christ and understood it. It was just, God, help me. Help me for today. Help me in this situation. Help me understand which way I should go. And that's sometimes where everybody starts, because the prayer is asking for God's help. And we have to get to a place where we're living a life that's not contradictory to what we're praying for. Because we have to remember some important things when it comes to prayer. Sin hinders prayers from being heard by God. You know, sin in your life, sin is disobedience. It's not the smoking, the drinking. You know, people at church likes to say those things, get folk to do whatever. You know, they're trying to give them do's and don'ts. It's not about do's and don'ts. Salvation is based on the faith and knowing that we're saved by grace and not by works. That is God's will for our lives, that once we believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and he paid the price for our sins, and we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, we are saved. Everything else in our life starts to change as we move towards obedience. So any sin in your life will hinder your prayers. And repenting from the known sin, you know, that's one of the things we have to also, because there's things that we know that we made a mistake last week, last night, yesterday, an hour ago. Repent. God help me. God help me. The next time it comes up, I won't do the same thing again. I won't cuss nobody out again. I won't get angry. I won't murmur and complain. These are sins that we take, you know, we think they don't mean nothing, because everybody wants to talk about the big sins, the sexual immorality and the drugs and the alcohol and I'm cut, all these things. But sometimes it's the little things that keep us from God because we think it don't matter. Remember, sin is disobedience. And if we repent from it, ask God's forgiveness from it, because we fall short every day because nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. My elder, I know he's not perfect because I know him. Amen. But
amen.
I know he's
amen.
A faithful man. Oh, I thought I lost you there, brother. Okay. But we have to understand who we are, that we're going to fall short because we're not going to get it correct here on earth. But we have to be striving and being discipled into a place where we're not living a life contradictory to our prayers. Amen. I want to go real quick, bro. I'm going to give you this real quick as I come back to you. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farm here with Elder Mark. And we're here every Monday night, again, at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturdays at 9 p.m. And we just here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're here to encourage brothers, encourage the believers. I know I have some women and mothers who's be sneaking in on the phone lines and listen in, but that's okay, because the things I'm saying, it crosses over. But here we want to focus on men, that we encourage the brothers out there that they can be the leaders in the home, in their families, and in the community, and in the church. Because church needs men, and men need Jesus Christ. Because the things we deal with just being as husbands and fathers can sometimes be overwhelming. It can weigh us down, but the Word of God is the answer. If we start to line our lives up with the Word of God as fathers, we can be able to deal with how to minister and mentor and disciple our children through the crisis they may have to deal with. I don't care if your children are toddlers, what is it, 1 to 5, 6 to 10, they're teenagers. Those teenagers can be challenging for some. Or even if your children are in their 20s and 30s and 40s. You know, because our children, at one point, the cute little baby that was born is going to grow up to be an adult, and they're going to have to make choices for themselves, and some of their choices we may disagree with, or some of their choices may get them into trouble. But yet, we know if we continue to pray, we continue to be able to minister and talk to them and guide them and direct them, and then also we have to be able to say, you know, there's consequences for every action. You know, we can't pray that God, you know, because some of us, and made some bad choices, but yet God kept us, and we've learned from them. Sometimes wisdom only comes with living life and making bad choices. But I do believe that we learn more from our mistakes and our failures than our successes. Because if something keeps going right, we won't stop doing it. And that's where a lot of people get caught up. They're living lives that are disobedient God, sinful lives, and they think they're prospering, they think everything's going well because they're getting away with it or whatever. But when we have to seek a change, seek a different way, and that's where we are as parents are able to speak into people's lives and tell them about Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says about this situation. Because every situation we deal with in this life, the Bible has an answer. So I just want to encourage the brothers out there. First, you have to know Christ for yourself and live a life as an example for those around you, for your wife, your children, your church members, the brother next to you in the pew. And again, as always here at Issue Christian Member, I encourage men's groups, men's ministry that meet and deal with the issues that brothers are dealing with. It's been, what, 4 or 5 years now. No more pancake breakfasts, no more prayer breakfasts. If we have men come together, we talk about men's issues. We talk about pornography. We talk about why you're not getting along with your wife. We're talking about what men are struggling about and how the Word of God can encourage us, and we can encourage each other. I was in a men's group recently, and it's like, you know, you'd be surprised how many brothers are going through stuff, but you really wouldn't know because you don't get to know them. There's no real fellowship and intimacy in the body of Christ, which is what we need to encourage each other and why we want to press on for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So, bro, I will come back to you. We're talking about Matthew 15 and verses 1 to 9. If you could, bro, could you read that for us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might receive from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of the commandments of men.'"
Amen. That says a lot right there. We started with that, so we're going deep right in. Our traditions in the church, we have to be careful when it comes to prayer. It comes to the things about what we do and how we serve God. Verse 8, it says, "They draw near to me with our mouth." That's when we talk about sincerity and hypocritical prayer time and a prayer life. Are you hypocritical in your prayers? Are you, you know, what do you pray when you're by yourself? You know, because I understand praying in public, being part of a prayer group, you know, but what are we saying? We're saying, you know, are we living the prayers that we're praying? And are we coming sincerely to God and persistent with God? Because it's easy to pray when you call in on the prayer line and there's 15, 25 people, or maybe even 3 or 4 or 6 people, and you want to sound spiritual as the next person is praying, you know, when you're in prayer circles. So it talks about, where is our heart in all of this? And he was pulling up the leaders in the church because they set people up for failure. Those scribes and Pharisees, they were the leader in the church in Jerusalem at the time. But where are we as our leaders, as pastors, deacons, elders, are we teaching people how to pray? You know, and because they glean from us. So when we pray, how are we praying? And for the babe and for the new believer, this is how they pick up the habits of praying and traditions. That's why I go back to denominations and how some of the services are set up, but that's just me. What do you say, sir, about being hypocritical in our prayer time or not being very sincere and giving lip service? That's the word I was looking for. Giving lip service to God, and our hearts are just so far away from what he's really saying, calling us to do.
Amen. I like we said, you know, I've heard people pray in that manner and seen it happen, and even witnessed someone, you know, someone really literally in church praying, and I mean praying and speaking in tongues and everything, and then outside in the church park in the parking lot, they're on the phone cussing somebody out. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But it's about your heart. It's about your heart. You can say with your mouth that you walk with God, that you love God, that you honor God. But then if everything about your life looks like you have no relationship with God. So on Sunday you got your three-piece suit on, or you got your for the women, they got their, you know, the mother cap or whatever, the hat and all, you know, everything, everybody's all dressed nice and clean, nice and pretty, and their prayer is, you know, the deep prayer, and some people are going into the snotting and the crying and the woes and the wees and all that. But then their life is completely different. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable in your prayer. Cry myself. I sometimes know in the presence of God I weep because I feel touched by God. But that's not about anybody else. That's because of the relationship that I'm growing in. And the word I said was growing in, because every day our relationship should be getting stronger. Some people will never bat an eye when they pray, but in their heart, they really have a connection to God. They'll walk and live what they're praying. What they say to God, how they say they honor God, reflects in everything that they do. We all will fall short. None of us are perfect. I know I will never be perfect. It will never be a day that I got it all right. Most of the time, I didn't even get half of it right. But the fact that we try to live a life reflecting who God is in our lives, so that our testimony, that our life, shows God moving and working on our hearts and our minds. So our prayer, our praise to God reflects that we have a relationship and are building a relationship. But if your prayer is just like the hypocrites here that Christ talked about, that you only speak out of your lips, it's only coming out of your mouth, there's no action to follow it, there's nothing that shows your faith, that's where we lack in sincerity. Sincere prayer shows you have a relationship that grows from day one to the very end. You keep on growing. Yes, you may fall. Yes, you may stumble. Yes, you may fall back and take some steps backwards, but you're steadily moving toward God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I just want to encourage those out there who are listening. All those called in at 44, excuse me, all of you have called in at 646-668-2636 and listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. I just want to encourage you, because this is not about, again, this is not us trying to chastise, this is trying to encourage folks to look at our prayer lives, review. Sometimes we have to step back. We have to look at our life. What we've been through, what we did in the past calendar year, in these last 12 months. And what are we going to do moving forward? Because, again, it's about the process of moving forward, forgetting those things behind, but pressing forward for the mark of the high calling of God. Because God is, again, God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. You know, he didn't see, he created us for purpose, and then we come into the knowledge of Christ, and he wants to use us in his kingdom. There's someone out there who needs to see your life change, who needs to hear the gospel, hear what you've been through, hear what God has done for you so that they might too believe. And then again, you have folk out there who are watching, you don't even know they're watching, because they knew you or they're watching you. They want to see how you're living, to see if the God that you say that you believe is true. So we have to be on task at all times. And let me say that I want to go back, because we're going to talk about prayer is important, because we have to have a defense against the enemy, because the enemy was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to come at you. He's going to send different people, things, situations at you to try and break your faith. And sometimes it's not about our temporal realm, but it's about, oh, you saved now, and look what God's let happen to you. And that's how the enemy works sometimes. So I want to just encourage everyone to review your prayer life. Every brother out there, review your prayer life and increase your prayer life, because we all, again, it's all about spiritual maturity. Are we praying different? Because now I want to backtrack, because if you're still praying, asking God to give you stuff and do stuff for you and do this for you and you and you and you, it's time for you to evaluate that. It's really time for you to evaluate. If you always go into God asking for stuff, do you pray for other people? Because remember, the things you have, some people don't have. Think about the homeless. Think about families out there that are really struggling. Think about people who, again, I talked about it in the beginning about prayer. You know, there's people who've been in the hospital this whole holiday season, from Christmas to New Year's, while we was out doing all kinds of things and opening gifts and going out on New Year's Eve. There's folk who spent this last week, 2 weeks, in hospital beds, and they don't know how much more of 2020 they're going to see. They have family members who've been diligently being with them, comforting them, praying for them, not knowing what the next day is going to happen. So, you know, what are we praying about? And who are we praying about? Are we just praying for, again, ourselves and our family? Are we praying for those around us who we know? Are we praying with urgency? I think that's the other thing when we talk about sincerity. Are we really praying with urgency that we need God to do something, or we need God to prepare us, or we need God to help us? Because that's where our prayer life also is to come to. Now, we have a true in our heart. Are we praying with the desire and the urgency for God to answer our prayers? Are we coming to him because he has the answer? Or is God just, let me pray to God just in case my thing I want to do don't work out, so I could say I prayed to God, but then I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to handle it my way. Or do we go to God seeking the answer for a thing, and we're willing to wait and be faithful and wait for his answer and wait for what he's going to do? Because, again, God's plan for our lives may not be our plan. Because, again, most of us, as I'm guilty, I want to go my way where it don't hurt me that much. But then again, that may not be God's plan. Again, if we look at Scripture, a lot of folk had to suffer, a lot of things that went on in Scripture for God's will to be done. But yet the saints believed, because they were not locked in to everything in this earthly temporal realm. It was all their joy wasn't locked up. That's the word I want to get. All their joy and hope wasn't locked up in the things of this world and on this earth. They knew they had a home. They knew that God was, that Jesus left here to prepare a place for us. And that's where our hope and our passion is. So, again, just to I'm going to come back to you, Elder, because I want you to talk about the importance of having a heart's desire and an urgency to God in our prayer, because I think that's part of sincerity, that God is the only answer, and I'm waiting on God. What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, it was something I was able to share. I was blessed that the Spirit laid it upon my heart to share it in that way. But we had the opportunity to speak about the process and waiting on God. And what was laid on my heart, I just share before we go further. It says the process is the price for the promise. The process is the price of the promise. And in the process, we wait on God. And so many of us tend to believe that waiting on God means standing somewhere just waiting for God to drop everything on us. But what we really have to look at is that we wait on God, meaning we stand like the waiter. We're serving God. We're serving God in the way that he's called for us to receive the blessings and promises he has for us. And that's part of our sincerity in our prayer, in our connection, in our heart, that we don't just think God's just going to drop. God is just a short order cook who's just going to drop in what we're ready to eat and what we're ready to take. And we can throw back the stuff that we don't want. When we ask God to move, God moves. But we have to realize that God moves in his power, in his way, according to his will, and we have to live according to according to his will and way. So some things may not be comfortable. Some of the things that we ask God for and that God has for us may not be comfortable, but it's part of the cross that God created us to bear. In our faith, we know, in our heart, we understand that God will carry us through all things. That's our belief. That's what faith tells us. God will take us through all things. So when we pray and we're saying, God, I don't know this situation. I don't understand it. God hears your prayer. God hears you calling out, Father, I don't know. Just as Christ said, this is If you can take this cup from me, but if it be your will, then so be it. We sometimes are dealing with situations we don't want to deal with, we don't want to go through. But God in his power and his awesome and infinite understanding and wisdom knows what we need, how we need it, where we need it, and what we have to go through to understand and realize that he is God and God alone. When we pray and we stand when we pray in sincerity, we do so knowing that God is moving. And that's part of the heart. That's part of your belief, part of the understanding, knowing that God is moving. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the diagnosis, no matter what the problems. That's why the word says, lean not that upon your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct the path. If we acknowledge God, if we lean upon God and not what we understand, not what we want to happen, not what we see as the best way, God has a plan, and we have to be in line with his plan. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it's hard, but as we walk, as we stand with sincerity in our prayer and our connection to God, we start to realize and understand that as we talk to God, as we communicate with God, as we listen for the answers as we've made our request of God, he'll show us exactly what we need to do while we're going through and the promise that he has already created for us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. And I just wanted to share this with those. Again, the Issues Christian Men's Talking, I'm Deacon Farr. I'm going to give one scripture here. We may not get to it because we're running short on time, but I do want to share with the audience out there to read Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. And also, we have to understand our prayer, we have to pray from the truth of our need for him. And we have to understand as Christians, as believers, as God, because Jesus Christ is our Lord, we have to understand that we cannot do anything without his grace, his mercy, and within his will. And sometimes our prayer is to line us up with his will. Like the brother shared, Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ said, if it be your will, we have to get to a place in our faith and in our walk where it's your will, God, and I'm ready because I know you are in control. Because our prayers have to be coming from our true need and knowing that God is the answer. God's our A plan. There is no B plan. And then also, I just wanted to share how important it is to be persistent. You know, when we pray, sometimes we get into the habit, we pray for one thing once, and then we just, like brother said, we stand there and wait for God. The scripture so teaches that we ought to pray persistently. If you're praying for someone's salvation, are you praying every day? Or you prayed this week or last week, they didn't get saved, so you don't pray for them no more. You prayed for something. You prayed for healing. You prayed for whatever it is you're praying for. So you pray one time, and you don't pray about it again. We have to be persistent in our prayer lives. And that's where I think because I learned for myself. I'll just say this for me. Having a prayer journal, because you can look back to what you prayed. I mean, you don't have to pray every day. But when you pray or whenever you do pray, you write down some prayers. And then you'll be able to go back and see those prayers and see, I need to pray this again. Because, we're human beings, we forget because life comes at us. I can pray for one thing today and tomorrow or Saturday or Monday, something else comes on my heart to pray about. But if I journal what I'm praying, what I'm asking God for, in my quiet time, I can look at the journal and say, oh, man, I need to pray again. Or you write down who you're praying for, you see their name, and you can pray for them again. We have to learn to be persistent in our prayer. And again, God is not a microwave. God is not instant. I know we're used to it now. We got stuff you can eat. You can get food so quick. You know, you can microwave everything in 2 minutes. If it takes more than 3 minutes, we wonder what's taking so long. We got to open the microwave and see if it's done yet. But you know, our prayer life. We need to learn to be persistent. And again, that's something that comes with spiritual maturity, because God brings something and someone to our hearts and minds. Again, this is about being part of a local body of church and being part of knowing what people are going through and engaging folk and being part of a community of believers, because church folk go through just like everybody else, the non-believer goes through. Let me just make sure we're clear on that. But I'm praying for somebody because I know what they're going through, because I'm in relationship with them. I'm connected with them. They're my brother and sister in Christ. And I know what they're going through, what their family's going through. So I'm praying for them. And then I'm writing it down, and I'm persistent in that prayer. until I hear of the testimony. I hear of the breakthrough. I hear that something has changed, and now I have a testimony. You know what? You know, 6 months ago, back in February of 2017, I was praying for your family and this, and now it happened in 2020. And now that increased, that's their faith. You have a way to tell them about the work of God, and now it increases your faith because you see, you prayed and God moved. It took a while because of God, again, the process, but now you see their lives are different. Because I ask anybody out there who's at a certain age, wherever you are right now today, did you expect to be here 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years ago? Because for me, I go back 20 years ago, I would never think I'd be, first of all, in the church and then have the responsibility and understanding of the Word of God, because that's not where you were. But somebody prayed. Somebody shared the gospel with me. Someone discipled me. And that's why it's important to be part of a local body that we can learn to grow spiritually, to trust God, and have someone encourage us along the way. So that's one of the things, too, when we're talking about prayer. Are we persistent in our prayer? What do you say, brother, about the persistency of our prayer lives for us as men, as husbands and fathers?
Amen. Persistence, yes. It's consistency, persistence. Like, we have to continually go to God. We have to continually talk to God, continually communicate with God, and continually communicate, because we have to understand that God has a calling upon us as well. Just as we continue to request of God each and every day, we're asking God to move on our situation, to change this, to help this person, to do this in our lives, to shift the atmosphere in this manner. Whatever your requests are, we always take that to God and continue taking to God, knowing that He's moving on it. And being persistent doesn't mean it's like, oh, I'm begging God to fix this, I'm begging God. No, it means you're consistently bringing it to God. That's your heart. It's a request of your heart. But as you bring that to God, you're also saying to God, God, what can I do to serve you? How can this situation help me save someone else? How can this situation or this test or this trial show me more about you so that I can share it with somebody else? Like Deacon Forrest said, most of the time when we're going through some things, the things that we're praying about and the things that God moves on our lives, it's not about us. It's about somebody else. Somebody else who's been watching our situation. Someone else who sees us and knows that we have a relationship with God and that we're growing. They see that, and then they desire to grow because they see God has been moving on our lives. God is answering our prayers. But if we all we do is take the big guy one time and say, you know what, God, you didn't answer, so I guess I'll just deal with it by myself. That doesn't show faith. That doesn't show that you believe God to be who He says He is. What it means is, you feel like God is just a microwave that you can press the buttons, and when it doesn't work, you don't want that plate, so you go up and pick something else up. Instead, we need to be continually in God's face, continually praying each and every day, continually umptioning of God and requesting of God that we are building a relationship, that He is reaching out to us and that we are reaching out to Him so that we can always receive the blessings He has already ordained. Being persistent and consistent. Serving God so God can continue to bless us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, well, first of all, let me thank you. Thank all those who have called in. See you online here. You called in at 646-668-2636. Thank God for you. We thank you for hanging in there and listening to us and being part of the discussion. Listening in anyway. But, as always, you know, if you want to share some insight or something, just press one on your keypad. We can bring you in. We're going to be continuing to talk about this. We're going to be continuing to teach on it. We're talking about the precepts of Christ for man's prayer life. This is only part one. And we're talking about being persistent and being sincere in our prayers. Because, again, our sincerity, we have to check our hearts. We all know where we are, why we're praying. And are we being faithful and persistent in that thing and hoping that God will move on our lives? So I just want to encourage the brothers out there, continue in prayer. Look at your life. Evaluate it. It's like anything else in life. Sometimes you have to step back and evaluate where you are and where you want to go and what's next that God has you doing, you know, and where's God going to move. And then also in preparation, because we don't know. My pastor always says it, you know, he's starting to say it a lot. We're not promised tomorrow. But are we prepared for the things that's going to come tomorrow that we may have to deal with? And are we connected with God through our prayer life that He's preparing us? Some of the other subjects we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about humility in prayer. We're also going to talk about the importance of repentance in prayer. We're going to talk about obedience in prayer. We're going to talk about our faith when it comes to prayer. We're going to talk about forgiveness in our prayer, because our unforgiveness for those around us can hinder God hearing and answering our prayer. We're going to talk a little bit about fasting. And again, we're going to come back because we have to learn a persistent prayer life is very important. Are we praying, and are we praying sincerely? Amen. Brother, could you close us out in prayer? And again, I appreciate you for taking time out this evening to be part of the program. And God bless you, sir, and we'll talk real soon.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. God bless you. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity to come before you, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves. Continue to work on our hearts and minds, Lord God, as we're learning more about drawing closer to you, Lord God, more of a communal relationship with you, Lord God, more of spending time with you in our prayer time, Lord God, in our life, Lord God, that as we walk, as we talk, Lord God, we are representing, Lord God, the very prayers that we uplift, O God. Give us the strength to recognize, Lord God, that our lives are changing, Lord God, that each and every day you are moving on our behalf. We thank you for yesterday, we thank you for today, and we thank you for tomorrow. We will continue to honor and bless you as we pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Lord, how I love you so much. Though my nights may seem long, and I feel so alone, Lord, my trust is in you.
I can't do this by myself.
I surrender to you.
Yeah.
So many painful thoughts travel through my mind, and I wonder how I will make it through this time.
Yeah.
But I'll trust.
It's not easy.
Lord, it's not easy.